relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
How remiss of me. I've been slipping. I've been forgetting my public service announcements, my PSAs about the Democrat Party. This is America First One-on-One, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka, former deputy assistant strategist to President Trump, member at the moment, because Biden is too afraid to try and get rid of me, of the Pentagon's National Security Education Board. And this is a public service announcement. Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. The KKK was the armed wing of the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party remains a bigoted and racist party. Just listen to this current incumbent of the White House on one of our minorities in America.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
Come on, Sleepy Joe. Let's look at your record. A man who called fellow Democrats segregationists. Fine gentlemen. A man like you as a senator who said he doesn't want his children growing up in a, quote, racial jungle. That's Joe Biden. And if you didn't vote for him, you ain't black. Is it just the blacks who are ill-served in this nation? Let's dig a little bit deeper with our very special guest. She is with an advisor to the Faith and Freedom Coalition, longtime advisor to conservative interests in the Hispanic community. And we're not going to use any silly phrases here like Latinx. She's Nilsa Alvarez. Welcome to America First One-on-One, Nilsa.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sebastian. Actually, thank you for not using Latinx, because it's actually very offensive to the Hispanic community. You know, the fact that they're saying Latinx because we don't know or we are confused regarding our gender. No, Hispanics know their gender. And that's why we're seeing a record-breaking attendance of Hispanic parents at school boards trying to get rid of that radical sex education and gender dysphoria curriculum. So thank you for that.
if you think we're just making stuff up or we're being satirical, no. This neologism, this new word, this politically charged ideological word is in fact in use by the radical left. And of course, because he's genuflected to the radical left, Joe Biden has to use it as well. And here he is. Here's the proof.
It's awful hard as well to get Latinx vaccinated as well. Why? They're worried that they'll be vaccinated and deported.
So just that 4-second clip, Nilsa, we need to unpack it. Number one, you say that the Hispanic community finds this offensive, this Latinx, because Latino and Latina is somehow offensive to them, according to an old white guy. And then on top of that, when he says they don't want to get, the Latin community doesn't want to get vaccinated because they think they're going to get deported, doesn't that mean that Joe Biden thinks that if you're Hispanic and you're in America, you're an illegal? How racist is that?
Yeah, he is definitely pandering, and he is actually generalizing. And sadly, the Democratic Party does that. They just generalize consistently, including when they refer to the Hispanic community. They think we're just all in one box and that all we care about is immigration. No, that's not the only issue. We're not a single voting issue block. We care about multiple issues. And how about the issue of religious liberty? And that's why so many Hispanics have been reaching out to me and the coalition, seeing how they can get religious exemptions from mandates that were going on back during the extreme COVID measures that were being pushed. And people were losing their jobs. They were having to choose between their livelihood or their, you know, a one-size-fit-all medical treatment that they believed didn't really service them or didn't tailor to their needs, their physical needs, because you know your medical history, you know what might benefit you or not. So it's just so many things. And he's trying to just put us in one box, in one category, and say, well, if you're Hispanic, then you're pro open borders and you think the way the Democratic Party says you think.
Well, and which itself is a bigoted statement, is an utterly racist statement to say if your last name is Spanish or has a Hispanic influence, then you've got to think one way. That is the ultimate bigotry. Now you've worked on some very successful campaigns. You've advised Senator Rick Scott, Ron DeSantis, worked on the Trump campaign. Can you unpack for us the truth of what's been happening politically in the last 10 years in America? Because if you look at the figures from 2020, it is remarkable. Of course, this will be denied by the left behind closed doors. They're very worried about it, of course. But if you look at the figures for minority support for this non-politician, for President Trump, you see not only a 12, 13 million vote increase between 16 and 20, you also see the highest rate of minority support for President Trump in the black and the Hispanic community for in comparison to any Republican candidate or incumbent since the 1960s. So is it too much to say, Nelson, that this is an awakening? Can you unpack for us what is happening? Because we've been told for so long that, oh, the Democrats succeeded. They painted the GOP with a brush that they don't care. They're not interested in the minority vote. What's changed in the last decade?
Well, that's an amazing question. And just to bring some perspective, when I serviced these different campaigns, it was under the umbrella of the GOP as a faith and Hispanic engagement director, where I managed several campaign offices, one for Trump in Hialeah in 2016, and then DeSantis and Scott in 2018 in Broward County. And so in 2015, the data was showing us, and because I'm a pastor's wife and my connections were really in the ministry world, I would say that the data was showing that only 5% of churchgoers were participating in primaries, which is a very, very bad. It was just bad news for the evangelical and the Hispanic faith vote. So we started a very aggressive voter registration operation with our network of ministries. And it ended up being the largest voter registration operation in the state of Florida, leading into 2016. And because so much was at stake in 2016, the body of Christ and the Hispanic faith community started waking up and starting. We started having a record number of Hispanics that were registering as Republicans at our voter registration drives, not because we were waving a partisan banner, but because when they understood which party stood for their Hispanic conservative values, they started realizing on their own, oh my gosh, I'm Republican, and started registering as such. Well, what happened? Leading into 2016, over 17 counties, about 17 counties flipped to majority red in voter registration. Leading into that 2016 election. After that, in 2018, we saw an additional six or seven counties flip to majority red in voter registration. And then leading into 2020, you see this phenomenon in Miami-Dade County where we're only just a few, less than 2,000 votes from actually flipping the county to majority Republican in the vote for President Trump. So there's a momentum that's been growing. We're seeing a record number of women running for Hispanic women running for different seats as Republicans, like in the state of New Mexico. And we're seeing that also in Texas. So it's just a momentum that we see. It's Hispanic and we see faith coming together. And they're both now holding the lever of every national, local, and state election.
Yeah, very exciting. Although I do have some questions for you regarding the role of the church, especially under the last 2 years and the COVID conditions. We're talking to Nilsa Alvarez, Director of Restore Government, also the Faith and Freedom Coalition. She's advised the Ron DeSantis campaign, President Trump's campaign, Senator Rick Scott. She is the go-to trainer, grassroots trainer for the Republican Leadership Initiative, a lady who impressed me so much. We had her on my Newsmax Rack Show, and that's why she's back here for a one-to-one deep dive discussion on how the political landscape is changing in America. If you enjoy this show as much as we enjoy providing it for you, make sure you are subscribed to America First One-on-One. Go to your favorite podcast provider. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka. Do us a little review. It does make a big difference with those dastardly algorithms. Share the links with everybody you know. Make sure you never miss a moment. That's Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, and America First. This is One on One. If you haven't done so already, be sure, please, to register for our Stand With Israel tour later this year. 10 days, November and December, we are traveling to the Holy Land with my fabulous Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie, to literally walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. If you've been to Israel before, it doesn't matter. You haven't been with me and Dinesh. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? We're going to be there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Temple Mount in Jerusalem, all the key sites you may only have read about in the New Testament. This is the trip of a lifetime. Register today. Call 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud ever. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film, 2,000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Salem's own Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by the Salem Media Group with research from True the Vote. 2,000 Mules tells the story of criminals who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance footage. You'll see how we tracked the mules by their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie, decide for yourself. Attend the limited release premieres on May 2nd and May 4th. Check out your local listings. Get your tickets today only at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. Nielsa, there is a cliche that I wish you to help me with. A lot of cliches are based on fact. You said that the Hispanic community in many cases is waking up. They're realizing, oh my gosh, I'm a conservative, therefore I should be voting for Republican candidates. From my estimation, I'm not a member of that community, so I could be completely wrong. I look at the last 30, 40 years, and I see a GOP Republican establishment that seemed to write off this community. It just didn't bother investing money or time and kind of said, well, you know, the Democrats have that locked in, so we're not even going to try to do outreach. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, you know, I've come to work alongside the GOP in different levels. There's been the local party that I've worked with and local chapters of their party. Where I was their go-to trainer back then with the RLI and everything that had to do with strategic community engagement, voter registration. And then there's the state party, and then there's the national party. So, I mean, wherever you go, there's some great people involved in the party. And in other areas you go, it's like there's a lot of power struggles and fights and infighting and lack of diverse outreach. Some Republican parties, local chapters are very effective and they've engaged with the Hispanic community in a beautiful way. Others, not so much. Honestly, I can compare the GOP to any other organization, institution, or the church itself. You know, there are churches that do it right and there are churches that do it wrong, right? So it's hard to just generalize even with the GOP because in a lot of facets of the party, there are great people involved. I believe that it's time for a revival for the body of Christ and the Hispanic faith community to get involved with the party to the point where we can lead the party from within. And I think that would be a great way to go unless we all start a new party.
Yeah, you're not the first one to recommend that. Okay, let's talk about the key issue that so many people say should be the deciding point. Is or is it not a conservative culture. When you look at Latin America, you look at the history of our hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Do these families, whether they're from Mexico, Guatemala, anywhere else, is it true that they really have, when it comes to the role of men and women, children, education, work ethic, do they have a conservative culture to begin with? And if that is the case, why have they voted Democrat or not been politically engaged for so very, very long?
I absolutely love your question, because I can definitely give you some insight in the audience about what that looks like. Look, honestly, the core values you just mentioned about family, and I'm going to add to that, the pro-life cause in the Hispanic community to protect the unborn life is stronger than ever. You know, so much so that on March 9th, Guatemala, the nation of Guatemala, declared itself in a ceremony with their president and key pastors from the country to basically declare that Guatemala is the pro-family, pro-life capital of Iberoamerica, which are all the Spanish-speaking nations of the world.
Wow, that's amazing.
A statement level.
Nilsa, I didn't see that on the cover of the New York Times, or I didn't see a story in CNN about that.
Oh, well, surely on Univision. Oh, wait, not there either. Surely on Telemundo. Oh, wait. It didn't make it there either as well. You know, it's crazy that not only is the conservative movement censored on mainstream national television channels, but in the Hispanic networks as well. And so that's why we need to continue to do everything we can for our message to be heard. We are the majority. And when Hispanics arrive, when they migrate to the U.S., here's the problem about translating their political convictions and experiences into the what is the American political system when they adapt. You see, when they see two parties, when they see Democrat and Republican, what happens is they are transliterating. They are literally translating the word a Democrat, demócrata. They automatically assume democracia. This is the party that stands with democracy. When they see the word Republican, they think república. And depending on the nation they're coming from, it could have been the república that was the socialist party that did a lot of damage back home. And the colors don't help, because for them red is communism. So here it's inverted.
I've heard you say this before, Nilsa. Yeah. So are you really telling me that a 35-year-old guy, a 45-year-old guy, a 50-year-old woman really picks a party because they think one of them is democratic and one is communist because of one word? They don't have a level of understanding that goes deeper than one word.
Well, now I believe that because of everything being so politicized, there is more research being done. And I really do believe there's an awakening where now they're not really being as easily misled as they once were. But the truth is, that's how they would translate it. I have so many friends that were Democrats only because of the word Democrat, because they thought it was a party of democracy. They never investigated the values of the platforms of each party. So they were, and then they fall into the system of the fact that mainstream media in Spanish is all owned by the left.
Right.
So everything that they would push was pro-Democrat party, and they would bring on fake Republican contributors that would end up at the end of this so-called debate, they would end up agreeing with the Democrat.
I have to admit, you know, if you look at the lack of deep understanding of non-Hispanic voters, white or otherwise, what you say may in fact be believable. We're talking to Nilsa Alvarez. Follow her right now on Twitter, Nilsa Alvarez. This is America First. If you enjoy our show, if you like America, and if you want to tell the world that you believe in it, check out our store, sebgorkastore.com. Wear your values with pride. Send a message to the world, to the White House, to your neighbor. And everything we have there is made in America. From our If You're Woke, You're a Loser t-shirt that we made for the president coming on our show, the I'm a MAGA Man, I'm a MAGA Gal mug, all the Let's Go Brandon gear. Go today, sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A store.com. Don't hesitate. Do it today. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. All right, I have so many things we have to discuss with you. Let's bite on the really big issue that I think may be one of the catalysts for people waking up, and that's the border, and that's illegal immigration. So the point I make as an immigrant, a legal immigrant to the United States, with regards to the 2 million illegal immigrants who've been let into the country in the last 15 months is the following. It doesn't matter whether it's 2 million or 20 million. At the end of the day, it's not going to really affect me in terms of my income. You know, as a radio show host, I'm okay. As a TV host, I'm okay. But it's the other legal immigrant who came in and has just started on the ladder of earning income legally, who's most going to be hurt. It's the poorest legal immigrants from wherever they came from, black, brown, or what have you. Why? Because in comes somebody who says, oh, really, that busboy gets $15 an hour. I'll do it for $5 cash under the table. So does the Hispanic community, is that a factor in their relationship to this issue of open borders, that they understand the damage it does for the legal immigrant who's at the bottom of the earnings ladder?
Well, there's just so many different factors that come in, that weigh in on the immigration crisis and the way that the Hispanic community perceives it. So think about this. Those who reside on border towns, especially the Hispanics, let's talk about the Hispanics, right? That reside on border towns and they're legal, Hispanic Americans. Their experience with what's happening at the border is even worse than anything that has to do with what you're saying about affecting income. There's actually worse things that are happening. For example, those in McAllen have had to foot the bill for every illegal crossing, and their taxes, their local taxes, went up so much because the illegal wave that of just undocumented people coming in, it overwhelmed their hospitals, it overwhelmed their school system, to the point that their taxes kept going up. And that's because just recently they experienced their first Republican being elected to mayor.
Let me interject. Are they making that connection, though? Are you seeing that? Are they understanding that the increased tax on them is a function of the illegal migration's cost? Is that percolating down?
Yes. Actually, Hispanic residents were informed that that was the reason why their taxes were going up. And I have friends in McAllen that have worked locally, one in a detention center, and sees the overflowing of that as well. And then here's the thing, we're talking about also overwhelming a broken immigration system that needs serious reforms. Just like when President Trump went in and fired a whole lot of people in the VA offices, you remember that, and shook things up. Well, there's a lot of people in immigration that there's a shakeup that's very needed there, too. And here's the thing. The more we have undocumented individuals come in, you're overwhelming. You're causing a deeper backlog for those who are in the process doing things the right way. So whoever was waiting only months for that green card to come in, or white card, as they call it now, it'll take more than a year. For those who are waiting years, it's going to take even more years. It's just like, it's overwhelming a system that has been sluggish, and there's just so many loose ends. And then you have people like a group of friends of mine that they were lied to. They were deceived. They came in, they submitted all their paperwork to a law firm, and they believed that everything was being done right for them to become citizens. All of a sudden, and this made news in Florida many years ago, where the lawyer just took up all the money and disappeared. They became victims of people that were abusing the system, abusing those who are undocumented, and they're just, you know, just being used. Here's another story. I have a woman that confessed to me when I used to serve as a pastor that she had just gotten away from a former employer that was exploiting her sexually, forcing her to perform for him. And if not, he would threaten to call immigration on her because she's illegal. So the fact that people here are here illegally, that means that they are vulnerable to exploitation of every kind. And that's why human trafficking is such a crisis among the Hispanics that are migrating into the U.S. because they are being sold a lie and then abused and trafficked.
Yeah, we have to talk about the reality, the brutality of that situation. Next, we're talking to Nilsa Alvarez. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studio.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Nilsa, the reason I wanted to have you back for a longer discussion after you joined me on my Newsmax show, where, you know, it's the nature of television, you're limited, you only get, you know, 6-7 minutes. The monologues, I get maximum 15 minutes. It's not like this. It's not like one-on-one. Is that you've used a very strong word to describe what's happening on the southern border. You've used the phrase slavery. Now, some in the conservative movement, I think, have very successfully used that word to describe what's going on with the abortion industry, the way that the embryo is treated as a non-human, can be sold, parts of it can be sold. Why are you using, in this case, not with regards to the pro-life movement, why are you using this for the illegal migration across the southern border and the coyotes? Because this is powerful emotive language. Explain your logic to all of our millions of listeners, please.
Absolutely. So there is just a great alliance of organizations that I've partnered with in helping recover victims from this dark and terrible industry, the modern slavery of what is human trafficking in America right now. So one of them is Comisión Unidos versus Trata. They have recovery centers throughout Mexico, and they represent hundreds of families whose loved ones, whose children have been abducted and reported to have been smuggled into the U.S. because of the trafficking, the sex trafficking demand here from our country.
So let's be clear here. These aren't children whose parents are willingly paying the coyotes to smuggle them to America. These are people south of the border, wherever in the hemisphere. These are children who are abducted, who are kidnapped, and then smuggled into the country of America.
Yes, and I'm going to I'm going to show you her picture real quick. Sorry that I kind of dropped it. So here is Evelyn. She is one of them. At the age of 9, she went out to the just around the corner of her house to buy tortillas.
Where?
And witnesses say this is in Mexico. This is in Municipio de Soyuca.
Okay.
In Tezquitlan. In Mexico. She went around the corner just to buy tortillas. And witnesses say that she, by the time she got to the tortilla cart, she was accompanied by a male suspect. Then she disappeared. Her mother frantically went over to the border towns because something inside her told her that she wasn't just kidnapped, that she was abducted specifically for what was happening at the border and because her daughter was chosen to be smuggled into the U.S. Just something inside her told her that. She went and she went with her daughter's picture and started interviewing families in the border towns. She crossed two witnesses that by seeing her daughter's picture and information, they attest that they saw her daughter being sold to a couple going into the United States. And this is where her journey began. Now, Evelyn's mother, God bless her, may the Lord just keep her in peace. She actually gave her last breath finding her daughter, trying to find her daughter. She was a severe diabetic, and she died searching for her daughter among the border towns, hoping that she would be one of the children that would get recycled back and resold. But Evelyn never came back. And that's just one of thousands and thousands of cases. And these are of the few reported cases. There are so many that go underreported. And we represented more than 60 families at an event we did at March to the Border with Freedom Forever. If you look them up, they're an amazing organization led by Landon Starbuck and her husband, Robbie. And when we did that event, I was translating for one of our trafficking survivors who shared her story. And we held up the pictures of all these children. Can you believe that while this event was live streaming on Instagram and on their platforms, the social media giants pulled our event down? So who are they protecting, Sebastian?
They're not protecting the exploited.
They are protecting exploiters.
No, they're protecting the existing order. That's what they're doing. So let me share a story that I heard that I've said before, but it needs to be repeated. This is from when Dan Crenshaw came on my show several years ago, and he told an appalling, tragic, heartrending story of a young girl who was smuggled into the country at age 13, whose parents had paid, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000 to have her smuggled by the coyotes. And instead of becoming, you know, a free girl in America, she ended up in a locked room in New York where she was raped by 10, 12 men every single day for years. At the age of 18 or 19, she managed to escape. She made it to Washington, D.C. and got to the office of Dan Crenshaw, where she said to him, this former SEAL, please help us stop this so that there isn't another girl like me. It's these stories, correct, Nilsa, that justify everyone, mm-hmm. white, black, brown, using the term slavery to describe what is happening without any mm-hmm. control on the southern borders in the last 15 months?
Absolutely. It's slavery, because when there's lawlessness at the border, when we don't have the governments come together, like how we saw with the Trump administration, when we actually saw the Mexican government come alongside our government and try to bring order, and then see those number of illegal crossings actually start to decline. When we don't have that kind of commitment to national security and to legal points of entry, then the people fall prey to becoming just cattle sold. Sadly, they're just objects. They're being used as ploys. They're falling into the hands of cartels and coyotes that are selling them on markets. And we're only talking about sex and human trafficking. We're not even talking about organ trafficking, which is another thing that has to do with what's going on in the border, along with the drug trafficking. And look at all the people dying of fentanyl because of the drugs pouring in through the border.
Yeah.
And I mean, the list goes on, but this is part of a slavery that sadly is alive and well, and the Hispanic community is the most exploited community at the center of this dark age. Everyone that studied slavery in their history books, I know what you thought to yourself when you read that. You said, if this were to happen again, I would be an abolitionist.
Right.
I would be part of the abolition movement. Where are you now when modern slavery is here?
Yeah, that is the right way to talk about it. Follow this lady on Twitter, Nilsa Alvarez. All right, so we've only started to scratch the surface here. This is a fascinating conversation for me. We have to continue it. But let me just ask you, if you were advising President Trump right now, if you're advising the real conservatives, not the rhinos, what are the things that should be done now? Give me two things, give me three things that would really work in terms of resonating with a Hispanic community that is conservative in its values, that doesn't want to see fellow Latinos trafficked across the country, wants to see a closed border and wants to see prosperity. Where does a successful integrating of that community into a broader conservative movement begin?
Well, if I had the opportunity to advise our amazing president, President Trump, for me, he's the real president. Okay. He's the real deal. And the truth is he was doing everything right. And I know that the Hispanic community acknowledges that regarding the border crisis, he was doing everything right. He, like we said on your show last week, he implemented the DNA testing that was separating the child from their trafficker. Yeah. And being able to identify if that was their relative or parent or not. Those things discontinued under the Biden administration. They should continue. We got to finish the border. But the good thing is President Trump already knows that. And I know that that's something that would definitely continue once, you know, if he's running again, you know, that would be definitely number one. And those running for Congress, they need to prioritize finishing that work at the border and just strengthening the legal points of entries and bringing real reformation to immigration.
That's a policy thing. What is the transmission belt for connecting with these communities and locking them into the broader conservative movement that shares their values? What needs to be done that isn't being done, Nilsa?
Okay, well, definitely we need to continue to strengthen parental rights. That is huge for the Hispanic community. And that actually goes hand in hand with medical freedom. Hispanics do not want the government telling them what kind of medical treatments they want or need. And also, they do not want their children getting medical services without their consent at public schools. That is huge for parents. And the fact that they have been threatened by ordinances, local ordinances, trying to take away their kids if they disagree with their child as a minor choosing to irreversibly change their gender, you know, and threatening to take the child away from the parent if they disagree with that, it's just preposterous. And many Hispanics are waking up to that reality that there is a threat on their child's life in the sense that the government wants to get involved in regulating the conversations at home. And that just brings back the problems that they fled from when migrating to the U.S.
Yeah, fabulous message. Although I'm very worried. I've just looked at your Twitter feed. And I think I may have been talking to the wrong Nilsa Alvarez for all this time, because it says here, singer-songwriter. Well, that looks a lot like you. Is that you, Nilsa Alvarez? I think she's got a hidden identity.
Yes, my husband and I are we're worship leaders, too. That's the thing. When it comes to the Hispanic faith community, we wear many hats, and we're songwriters. We've been doing a lot of writing of praise and worship music for the church in Spanish for many years, and we just finished launching our second worship album, El León Vencerá, which means the lion prevails. We believe that, you know, God at the end, like in the book of Revelation, states that we're going to see all this craziness come to peace at some point, because Jesus is alive and he is going to, you know, make sure that everything he promised is just, you know, done.
Well, we have already won, because the lion does prevail. God bless you and your husband for doing what you do. Follow this lady, Nilsa Alvarez. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.